Hello and welcome to the Rambling Runner Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Chittum, and this is the podcast for all the dedicated amateur runners out there who are working hard to get better while balancing running with the rest of their lives. And this show, as always, is presented by ASICS. Go check out the new ASICS racing shoes. That's right. The Metaspeed Sky and Edge pairs are out. If you go to YouTube or anywhere that you like to get shoe reviews, you'll see that these things are just getting rave reviews. And I am so excited to try them out myself. I haven't yet, but everyone that I trust who has tried them absolutely love these shoes. Go check them out now and also go to ASICS.com today to go buy a pair for yourself. Now, today's episode is with Gary Koutsubas. This guy is amazing. What an unbelievable masters runner who's had quite a turnaround as an athlete. And I just couldn't wait to talk to him. I actually met Gary in person down at the Olympic trials. Such an awesome guy and a very good friend of my friend, Tommy Runs. So let's get into it with Gary. All right, Gary, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. You're one of the few people I've actually had a chance to meet in person before I've had a chance to have you on the show. So that's always a fun intro for me. That's sure we have a lot of mutual friends as well. And I can't wait to talk about your background as a runner and as someone who has really like turned up their running game to a level that is just really incredible. Before we get into it, though, Gary, I got to ask how your training's going, right? Boston's not too far away.
No, we're less than 5 weeks out. It's going really well. I've had a couple really good training sessions, you know, for Oregon, for Eugene, and for New York, and those went well. And I think I figured out that my issue is fueling. But with that, I got a coach for this one. So I hired Melissa Johnson White, who's part of the Hansons family. She's Tommy Runs' coach as well. And I said, look, training's going fine. You know, I can do the mileage. I don't mind stepping up a little bit, but I need to work on nutrition and fueling. And so I think that's going to be the key for Boston for me. But I am firing on all cylinders at this point, and I'm feeling pretty good.
Oh, that's exciting. No, that's for sure. So when did you realize that fueling was a problem for you?
Probably in the middle of this training session, to be honest with you. Because, you know, when you have a bad marathon, it wasn't a bad marathon. I mean, I ran close to 3 hours. So that's
and which
not
was this
bad.
One?
Oregon and New York. I was like 3 hours and 44 seconds and 3 hours and 1 minute. So it's not bad in the grand scheme of things, but it wasn't my goal. So, and I realized I was hitting the wall around the same time, 15, 16, and then 20 was like the slam the door shut. And I thought, well, I've got my gels, I've got my salt tablets. You know, I didn't take out too fast. You know, I might have hit a mile quicker here or there, but that's not it. And I realized I wasn't doing my morning routine of, you know, getting the Morton's 360 in the morning and the 180 in the evening before. I hadn't been doing that. I hadn't been training with fuel. So I started carrying a bottle with me, which I don't like to carry stuff. You know, I'm just, it's heavy, your arm hurts. But I've been doing that more for my long, long runs, and the difference is night and day. Like, I'm finishing these runs strong. I'm feeling great afterwards. I'm not feeling like I just gave it my all. Like, I gave it a good effort, and I'm like, this is it. This might be the magic key, you know?
Yeah, so when you look back on your previous training cycles, and we'll talk about, like, where you've come as a runner, because it really is remarkable, but more short-term, so the last 18 months or so, and you look back on some of your training, especially some of those long-run efforts and things like that, do you look back on it now with a different eye? Like, oh, wow, like, I thought this was normal, but in retrospect, like, maybe I was suffering with lack of fueling, I just didn't realize it.
Yeah, for sure. Because the races I've done well with, at the minimum, I've done a good fuel the night before and the night in the morning of. And while I was eating, I wasn't getting those really good carbs that I had been in the past. And I just remember on a run a couple of weeks ago, I just thought to myself, why am I not going with what's working? Like, why did I just get off of that ship? So I've, you know, kind of recommitted to working on fueling, you know, and still keeping up my mileage.
So what's your fueling plan going into Boston?
My fueling plan is it's going to be the Morton's plan for me. You know, thankfully Morton's is on course, so that'll be a little bit easier as well. But I'm going to carry a bottle with me. I, you know, the Morton's bottle, I found a handle off of Amazon I can use to like strap it to my hand. But a bottle of 360, a gel every 5 miles, probably a caffeine one right before Newton. And use that. That'll be how I get ready. Well, for the race anyway, the morning of, I'll do a 180 or I don't know all the numbers, 360, 180, whatever, you know, like a small one as well. So, and really, and I've run Boston before and right. I ran it well. So I just need to make sure I'm, you know, fully fueled again for this.
I love that. No, that good for you for figuring that out. And that's the one thing about identifying fueling as a, you know, negative or a problematic area. Again, you don't want any of those things, right? And it certainly can be a debilitating one, but it's an easy fix to one, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, assuming that someone doesn't have stomach problems or reoccurring issues and things like that, or, you know, some people just have a sensitive stomach, but if you have a stomach that can handle these kinds of race day fueling options, it really is like a nice problem to have if you're going to have any problem.
Yeah, for sure. The only issue I have really, again, is carrying around that bottle. You know, yeah. I remember I did an 18 miler and I said to the guy I was running with, I go, my arm's going to be so sore tomorrow. I might have to break out those Peloton 2 pound weights and start training with those around the house just to, you know, get used
Gary,
to
it. I gotta hope that none of our ultra running friends are listening to this. They're going to be like, dude, we run around with vests on. You just need to carry around a water bottle.
Yeah. Yeah. The vest is, I think that'd be too much for me, but you know, I'll start with a water bottle for sure. Yeah.
I love that. Well, you know, it's funny hearing you talk about how your last two marathons, while they were fine, were slightly disappointing. Again, they're hovering around the 3 hour mark because first of all, well, someone who's for a master's runner, I don't need to put a qualifier on it. Running around the 3 hour mark for a marathon is an incredible feat for anybody. For a master's runner, obviously that's even more so, right? So that is, you know, kudos to you for getting to this level in your running. And oftentimes when people hear someone at that level, they may have certain assumptions like, oh, okay, well, this guy must have been a runner his whole life, or, you know, I'll never be able to get that. This person obviously has certain gifts that I don't have. It's easy for people to mm-hmm. hear someone running at that speed and to do so consistently like you have recently. They make certain assumptions. And I think that I want to kind of touch on your background here, because I know for sure that that isn't the case. So talk to us about how you got started in running and when.
I ran cross country in high school for a couple of reasons. One, I did okay in the middle school mile. You know, I think I was like under 6:30 in the middle school mile. I wasn't even the fastest in my class, but I was up there. And then a friend of mine who was a year older, he ran cross country his freshman year and got a Letterman jacket. And I thought, I can do that. I can get a Letterman jacket, you know, like for cross country. Sure. So I went out for the team and I went during one of the practices, early summer practices, I took the wrong route and I took the long route, like for the older kids. And I came back and I ran it fine. And the coach is like, hey, did you walk any of that? And I said, no, I didn't. You know, I wasn't up there with the older kids, but I finished it. And he's like, okay, well, from now on, you'll be running, you know, with these older kids. And they kind of took me in and I was keeping up with them. I was running well. I wasn't the fastest on my team, but I wasn't the slowest. And I just kind of grew from there in terms of, you know, you run with faster people, you're going to go faster. And that's kind of how I got started really in running, was just high school, freshman year.
That's great. And did you progress all the way through?
Yeah, I ran all 4 years, cross and track, was able to lead my team to a league championship my senior year, which was big because our freshman year, we were 0-0 whatever it was. Like, we didn't win a single meet. You know, the team just didn't have the speed to win anything. And then come our senior year, we won the league championship. So that was a big deal. I missed out on states, unfortunately, but some of my teammates had made it. So that was crushing. But I went through that, ran track, did pretty well, a couple all league honors there.
But what were your favorite track events?
I was a miler. I loved it. I was a miler. I got down to 5:45. 4:45, excuse me. So, right. Yeah. Which in the grand scheme of it isn't like, you know, rural estate setting, but for, you know, a small town, you know, DeWitt, you know, that was huge. But it also wasn't enough to garner any real like college prospects. So after high school, I walked on to Lansing Community College, their cross country and track team. And they were good. They were national champion powerhouses for the NJCAA. You know, they had an amazing coach, and I was the eighth man on the 7-man cross country team, but I had a blast. I got to run in college. I got to run track indoor and outdoor. You know, it was an amazing experience to be able to say, you know, yeah, sure, it was a community college, but it was a college. You know, it was post high school running. And my last event for them was the NJCAA National Marathon Championships, which was in my hometown at the time. So
I love this. I remember talking to Nathan Martin because he went to an NAIA school, again, with like the marathon being an option.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, it's most people are more aware of the NCAA, whereas the NAIA and the junior college ranks aren't necessarily top of mind for a lot of people unless they went to one of those schools or they had like a family member go to one of those schools. So what was that like?
That was, first of all, having it at our home, you know, home course, you know, in Lansing was great. So we didn't have to travel. The only negative for me was we didn't train for a marathon. Our coach was just like, just keep running. You know, like this, he didn't keep make it a priority.
What's the problem, Gary? It's not good advice?
It was great advice, I guess. But like, you know, we didn't know anything about the marathon. So like a couple of the guys in my mind, I thought you guys are taking it out too fast. And in hindsight, no, they were fine because we didn't know anything, you know, like your first.
Right. It was just, I guess you're just probably guessing, right? From a pace perspective.
Yeah. It was I remember halfway through my coach rode by on a bike and said, here, take this. And it was like some jelly. It was an orange gel. I had no idea we had never used them before. But it was an amazing experience. I loved it. I thought, I'll do this again. I remember the chafing was the worst out of the whole thing.
That's a great call, right? If you've never gone that long, you would have no idea.
None. I remember I got home and my brother asked me after I got out of the shower if I was okay, because I must have been screaming pretty loud. So it's like, hey man, are you all right? Give me a second.
Oh, we've all been there, right? You're in the shower. Even now, right? You're like, you get those tentative first steps because you're not quite sure if you're gonna have a sensitive area or even where it might be.
Yeah. And I don't know how they find it, but there's always a new spot, you know.
Oh my God.
Chafing always finds something new.
That's hysterical.
But after that, that was it. I was done. I was done running. There was no local run clubs like there are now. Like there are run clubs everywhere. We didn't have that. I didn't have anybody really near me to run with. I had a couple of teammates who went on to different colleges outside of the state. You know, they transferred out. So I didn't have anything. And I just stopped, you know, with no, like I didn't have any. There's, you know, the talk of going to a goal race or a Boston wasn't even in my head at that point. You know, maybe a local 5K for like the job when they have like a corporate retreat or a corporate challenge or whatever. But other than that, I just stopped. I transferred to Central Michigan University and I got into the college lifestyle big time. So lots of drinking, you know, lots of bad food, you know, just stopped. And then after college, it continued, you know, to different jobs where you go after work and do happy hour and eat bad food. And, you know, you're living off whatever, you know, not living off a lot of money. And I just got big. I got real big.
So talk to me about that transition, right? So you go to Central and you basically your 6 years of running at that point. Again, obviously, everyone, you did the middle school mile and most people do as part of gym class and things like that. But you had 6 solid years of running in your teens and into your early 20s. And then you step away again, obviously at first it's not a huge shift, right? Cause you're still like, you still have your fitness is kind of with you. Your body doesn't change like immediately and things like that. And you probably look similar to like your classmates and things like that. But talk to me about this slow evolution And maybe it's just things that you noticed internally about your body changing and or just how you're feeling about your inactivity and things along those lines. Because I'd love to get into like the reasons why you didn't, you know, kind of pick up activity at certain points during this transition, because obviously you were aware of the changes.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right, because you're right. It wasn't like all of a sudden, boom, I'm out of shape. You know, I would run the occasional 5K, but I would jump into it. You know, I'm like, oh, I used to do this all the time. You know, I'll jump into the 5K and not die. You know, essentially is how I would categorize the end of those. I remember feeling poorly afterwards, you know, because I'd been out the night before, you know, having some beers, you know, maybe take a drag off a cigarette. And now my chest is feeling like it's been caved in. You know, my body's not feeling well because it was just greasy food and pizza. And I remember feeling not great and thinking to myself, you know, you can just get back into it. You know, you should probably start on Monday, get back into it on Monday. And, you know, and then you go out Monday and you run a little bit and you're like, okay, well, I'll do it again tomorrow. But you don't because, you know, you were out Monday night, you know, back at the barn. And it just kind of becomes a cycle where I'll try it again and you don't, and you wait a little bit longer each and every time. And for a while, you know, you feel guilty. You feel like, you know, you should be able to get out there and run. You know, you put on a few pounds, you should probably try and find a way to lose that. And eventually the guilt goes away and this is the lifestyle that you're leading now. You know, it's just poor nutrition, you know, poor time management, and life goes on and that fitness just, once it goes, it goes. And I think anybody who's ever been in the situation knows that to pick up and try and start over again is a massive life-changing undertaking. And I just didn't have the willpower at the time. So eventually I blew up to, I think my top weight was 225. I'm 5'7", 5'7" and a half, you know. but, you know, I remember at one point a doctor said to me, you're probably not built to get even down to 180 anymore. Just the way my body had, you know, gotten the way it was. So.
You know, you're... like right now, like you're like someone who's a father of three, you're someone who you're an accomplished man in your career and your career path. And obviously you're a disciplined runner as well. At this point in your life, while the discipline around physical activity obviously had diminished from what it had been in the previous years leading up to that point, were you disciplined in other areas of your life? Like was school going well? And once you graduated from school, like was the job search going well, or did things kind of universally kind of start to have like a lethargy about them?
No, school, I was never great at school. You know, I passed, you know, not with flying colors. I got by. But career-wise, I did well. I made the right connections. I met the right people. I got to where I needed to be just based on, I worked hard and I tried to over-deliver, under-promise, or whatever the thing is. You know, just, I was a problem solver. So that's kind of what helps me along my career path was, if somebody needs something to get done, I will get it done. You know, I will get it done in the time that you need or eventually or whatever. And I think that's helped me along the way. So career-wise, I was doing fine. I was making friends. I met my girlfriend and then wife through work. And so I was having good relationship issues, you know. And so that part was fine. But my wife and I were kind of in the same path when it came to, you know, we'd go out, we'd hang out with friends, you know, every now and then we'd say, let's join a gym. Let's do Weight Watchers. And so we would try that. And we kind of fall off on that again and go back to our usual, you know, sedentary selves, essentially. Everything else was fine. Everything else was, life was good for the most part, you know?
So life was good for the most part. Things are going well. Right. You've met the person who's going to be your wife. The job is going well. So what happened or what occurred, if there was a moment, or maybe it was an evolution that changed things on the fitness side?
So my wife's father passed away seven, eight years ago. And he was sick. He hadn't been taking care of himself. And my wife was concerned that that's kind of the boat we're in. You know, we don't want to be to the point. And he was in his 70s. His kids had all grown up and they're all successful. But our concern was, look at where we are now. We've got young kids. Something needs to change. And so she said, will you do Weight Watchers with me? And we'll take it seriously this time. I said, yep, not a problem. And unfortunately, and I don't know if this is a stereotype, but it seems to be, men lose weight faster than women. And so while we both achieved the lifetime goal at Weight Watchers, my weight dropped faster and I started to set out to do more. And so I signed up. Well, I said, hey, listen, I think I'm going to try running again. There's a special for the Detroit Free Press Marathon that if I sign up tonight at midnight, I get $75 off or whatever, $75, whatever it is. I'm going to do it. And my wife gave me the biggest eye roll and said, sure. You know, like, whatever. And so I did. I signed up for it.
In for a dime, in for a dollar. Like, oh, yeah. I'm just going to go sign up for a marathon. So was your wife right with the eye roll? Or was this like a preemptive, like, you shouldn't have done that? Or was she making the right call by giving you the eye roll at that moment?
I think the eye roll is what got me to like, oh, okay, challenge accepted, you know? So I signed up for the marathon. So that this was in January. The marathon's in October. So I've got plenty of time to, one, train, and two, back out of, you know, whatever, $75 down the drain. And I thought, let me find a training plan of some sort. Let me get into running somehow. So I got downloaded Map My Run, and they had different plans for like 5K, 10Ks, whatever. So I signed up for an April 10K, used their plan, and I ran it, and I ran it really well. So at that point, I was down, let me go back up a little bit. When I signed up for the marathon, I was down 20 pounds. By the time April hit, I was down another 30 pounds, maybe. So I dropped a lot of weight. So I went down to like 225 to like at that point 170, maybe.
Wow. So the fact that you signed up for the marathon after you'd already lost a lot of weight, it wasn't like, hey, I lost 5 pounds, and then you got a little over your skis of like, all right, I got a little momentum, now I'm going for it. Like, you'd really done a lot of work when you signed up for this marathon already.
Yeah, yeah. I dropped a significant amount of weight at that point. So I thought, I've always loved running. I always used to tell people when I was big, you know, I was quite the runner of my day, and they look at me like, yeah, sure you were, you know? It's like, because I've always loved it. I've always loved watching the Olympics and really gotten into running. I just wasn't doing it, but I still loved it. And I knew that there was still some talent there. I just needed to find it again. And so I went out and signed up for a 10K and trained for that pretty well. I remember my first 10-mile run, you know, and I was over the moon, you know, getting, as I was training for this, I thought, I'm going to do okay. I'm going to be okay at this. You know, like everything started to click and come back. I didn't know anything about like foam rolling or, you know, the gel market had substantially increased over my time doing the marathon back in the 90s. So there's a lot I didn't know about just the evolution of the science in running. But I ran that 10K and I ended up taking third place in my age group. And I thought, okay, all right. We're doing something here. We are kind of back a little bit. And I started really kind of getting into the training for the marathon. I found a local running store had a training plan. It was just all miles. No workouts, no speed, just mileage. And in the middle of it, my IT band just went out. Just completely went right out. And I didn't know what it was. I never heard of an IT band before. All I knew is my knee was screaming. And I couldn't use it anymore. And so I ended up missing out on that marathon. I did not running the Detroit Free Press Marathon. So in a sense, yes, we did throw away $75, but you know, I signed up for Bayshore, the Bayshore Marathon, which was a few months, it was in May. So October to May. So I had some time to get back into shape and regroup and get back into training.
Let me pause you right there, Gary, yeah. Because I think this is an interesting inflection point. So you basically had gone, it was about 20 years without really running.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So you get back into it and you're hot and heavy at first, like you lost this weight and like the 10K goes well. Then all of a sudden there's this major knee issue. And I don't want to sit here and like skip over this because I think for a lot of people that would have been, it could have been like a, don't be too overdramatic here, like a life altering moment. Like, oh, it didn't work out. Oh, well, I've already lost all this weight. I guess I'm fine. Right. You could have easily plateaued at that point in retrospect. Yeah. You didn't. Right. You fixed the knee issue. You sign up for this other marathon. And as we know, you keep going down this path. Why do you think you stuck with it there as opposed to just saying, you know what? I'm happy where I am. Maybe I'll just leisurely run it every now and then, but I'm in a good spot. I'm healthy. This isn't something I have to worry about anymore. My doctor's happy and I'm good.
Two reasons. One, I was loving it. I loved getting out there. You know, I wasn't running with a group. I hadn't met anybody. I was just doing it all on my own. And I loved it. Two, and this is still a motivating factor for me now, I knew if I stopped, I would go back to eating like crap. I would go back to not taking care of myself. And, you know, my biggest fear is getting back up to where I was before. That really does scare the crap out of me. So I have to keep running because if I don't, I know I'm going to go right back into old habits.
So. Interesting. Right. So like moderation isn't something that's going to work in this area of life. You're either doing it or you're going down the other path. There's no like gray area.
Yeah. And I know this for a fact, because if there are Oreos in this house or cookies of any sort, I'm taking them down. You know, I have a sweet tooth when it comes to that stuff. And I know that if it's, you know, Oreos today, it's going to be, you know, Snickers tomorrow. And, you know, just, you know, bring on the fried foods. And I can see it. I see, like right now, I know there's Oreos in the cabinet right over there. I'm going to get one when we're done with this.
So. Well, you have three kids, right? You have an 8-year-old, 11-year-old, a 14-year-old. Yeah. Like how does that impact them, right? Like a lot of the junk in my house isn't like, again, I buy it all. I'm the person who cooks in our house and I do the grocery shopping. But like a lot of the junk in our house isn't necessarily, again, I'm using junk like in quotes, right? It's fine. I don't expect my kids to eat like the perfect diet or anything, right? For a lot of them, just getting calories down their throat is like, is enough. But like, again, I'm not buying it necessarily for me, but that doesn't mean that I don't end up eating some of it. So how do you go about that duality?
Well, because I too am the grocery shopper in the house. And so I made a new rule that unless it's a new Oreo flavor, I'm not going to buy it. So that helps.
Don't go to Target. I went to Target yesterday. There was like 15 new flavors.
Yeah, exactly. So I made that rule, but I also made the rule that my kids at least to have try one first, because my youngest is like, Dad, what happened to the Oreos? Sweetie, I'm sorry. Your dad has a problem. So so getting back, that is a big thing in my head, is I have to keep doing this. You know, I have a Peloton bike at home. I'm not a rider. You know, I'm not a triathlete. I'm not a swimmer. You know, I'm a runner. You know, just like the Instagram handle says, that's it. I run, you know, and that's what keeps me where I'm at right now.
So talk to me about your evolution from wanting to be fitter, wanting to do this for health reasons, to having running related goals and having that being the primary driver with what you're doing. Not that I shouldn't say primary driver, because you do because you love it, but having that being one of the key things that you're looking towards.
I think as I kept running, you know, training for the first Detroit one that didn't work out and training for Bayshore, you know, I realized, you know, then you go and you look at like, well, what is the Boston qualifying time for somebody my age? Okay, well, that's not too far. Well, maybe I can shoot for that. And you know, then one day I realized I ran an 8-mile just an 8 mile run at 7:30 pace. And I thought, oh, I ran that in under an hour. That's pretty good. What else can I do? You know, doing these 5Ks, when I started doing more 5Ks, you know, the goal had been to run under 20, then to run under 19. And I was, oh, okay, I'm doing all right. You know, what else can I do? And then once I ran that Bayshore marathon, I think I ran a 3:34, that was a really good marathon because I learned a lot about marathoning. One, just because you feel really good in the beginning, you know, doesn't mean you should run that fast. You know, I ran with a group of folks who I was feeling great. It was shady out. There wasn't, I had plenty of fuel with me, you know, the goose. And it's an out and back marathon, and the back is off the lake, and it is hot. It was steaming hot. Like, people were hosing, the neighbors were all out hosing people down because it was hot. So I learned a couple good lessons there, you know, about taking out too fast, you know, having plenty of water, taking the water, taking the Gatorade. And I thought, okay, well, I didn't hit any goal, but I finished, and that's great. Great accomplishment. And then I think the next one was Detroit. And Detroit was so I did the Detroit that October with the goal of trying to qualify for Boston. With a goal of, if I don't take out too fast, if I fuel properly, I think I can do this. That was kind of the beginning of like setting like these marathon goals. I didn't do it. You know, I just wasn't my day, but I felt good about the race, and I felt good that if I get a proper plan the next time, I can do it. And so I went and I got the Hansen's method. I first downloaded the first Hansen's marathon method because I thought I need to get some speed work in here, you know, the mileage isn't cutting it. So I got the speed work in and I did the plan, you know, and I had reached out to Luke Humphrey a couple times just to ask a few questions about everything. And he was super gracious with his time because, you know, I didn't download the free plan, but I didn't like pay the premium for like that coaching service. And he was super helpful. And then I went out and I ran Glass City. So Detroit was a 3:15, Glass City was a 3:01.
Whoa. And
my goal was 3:05. So I thought, oh. So instead of, so Boston BQ, great. But now in my mind, I wonder if I can break 3. How great would that be? You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
You went quick from 3:34 to Boston qualifying time, getting under 3:05. That really is incredible. That is for sure. So when you start introducing speed, obviously that can change a lot of things, especially when you have like, you're building up that aerobic base as well. Where were you at this point? Again, not that we need to fixate on this, but I know this was, you know, kind of the impetus behind getting back into running. Where were you in your weight loss journey when you got to that point?
I was at the I went down to, I think at one point I dropped down to like 145, which was not going to be feasible. But that was about the lowest I went. And so I think right now I'm around 155, you know, around that area. So I had dropped down significant weight. And I think
you lost 70 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that is incredible.
Yeah. Incredible. And I used to tell people the you know, what you learn about yourself is that things are a lot colder than they used to be, you know, because you don't have that extra padding.
Well, especially when you're living in Michigan.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And that's an incredible, first of all, 70 pounds. I mean, that really is incredible. And also the fact that you're able to not only do that, which is, you know, that would be a story in and of itself, but the rapid improvement as well from a pacing perspective is also incredible. That's also a whole new thing. So let's talk a little bit now. I'd love to talk about just like the idea of, I don't know if talent is the right word, but I think we'll just stick with that because obviously you'd had a certain amount of talent as a kid, right? And you know, you were on these teams for 6 straight years. You were on a really good high school team. You ran at the JUCO level. Again, not that you were the best kid on the team or anything like that, but you were a contributing member to some good teams, which is really great. You told us what your mile time was, again, 4:45, which again, you know, kudos to you. That is really good stuff. Again, but then you took 20 years off. So what has been your understanding as, an, you know, again, as a practitioner here, looking at your own journey about, you know, what makes up talent? Not only that, but also like the fact that it didn't go away, that it was still in there, even though you weren't utilizing it. And obviously it didn't go anywhere because here you are right around 3 hours as a marathoner and being able to hold it consistently over a couple of years now.
I wish I could tell you, honestly, you know, it's, I tell people that it's a blessing, really. I work hard, you know, I train hard, but there's a talent there. And I think before Boston, I was upset that I didn't, you know, use it more. You know, I was upset with myself for not continuing it. I was upset with past coaches for not nurturing it out of me. You know, like I have this big ego, like, you know, you guys should have taken more care of me, you know, like just ego, you know, and oh, woe is me type stuff. But it really just, I'm very lucky to be able to work like this and to have this talent, and to be able to have kept it. I don't know why. My parents aren't runners. My uncles ran a little bit in high school, but that was about it. So it wasn't like I come from a line of, you know, running family. It's, I just happened to really be good at this one thing.
And when people come to you and say, oh, I wish I could do that, but I couldn't do that, right? Like some people say something along those lines, right? Like, oh, I wish I could do something like that, but that's just not me. I'm just not a runner. I wasn't born like that. What's your initial reaction now that you've kind of had this high and then this low and then this and then another high afterwards?
I just say, don't compare me to what you're doing. Don't, you know, don't compare yourself to anybody else. Just get out there and have fun with it and enjoy it. And if you want to get better, stay consistent. You know, that's the key. But, you know, comparison, what's the comparison is the thief of joy or something like right. that, you know, but that's because when people say, oh, I wish I could be as fast as you, I kind of feel weird, you know, like what do you want me to say here? I'm not sure, you know, just, you know, if you compare yourself to anybody, you're going to feel bad about yourself. So don't do it.
Right. Absolutely. And also I think it's instructive the fact that like, you know, people, I would assume there's probably a lot of people out there who could do something similar to what you did. Right. Because it's not like if someone had come up to you when you were 32 years old, they wouldn't have just assumed that this was going to happen. Right. Like, and maybe you wouldn't have even assumed that it was going to happen.
Yeah. No. It wasn't even the back of my mind that I still could be able to do this. You know, when I first started running again, I felt good. I felt like, oh, this feels good. But when I was more consistent with it and I kept going, I realized you still got some, you know, some speed here. You still got something here. And it was a motivating factor to keep going. So aside from the weight loss, the motivating factor, another one was what can we do here? What am I capable of doing here? And how long and for how long? Right? Because I'm 48 now. And I know that there are a lot of other masters and what are they, supermasters or ultramasters or whatever it is that are doing great things and faster than me. You know, I'm not the fastest master by any means. So how long can I do this? You know, how long can I keep getting PRs? Let's just push and push and push and push. And so, you know, that's kind of like what keeps me going, you know, especially with this training, you know, getting a new coach and getting ready for Boston. And what can I do? What am I capable of right now that I missed out for those 20 years?
And one thing that's changed recently, when I say recently, I guess I mean in like last couple of years compared to when you first started and you're running Bayshore and things like that, is that you've really ingratiated yourself into the running community, right?
Yeah.
Not just, you know, with Instagram and PR Project, which is a really great YouTube series that you and Aaron and Tommy do, which is, you know, a really fun thing, but also just like running with other people. So talk to me about how that you know, has impacted you as a runner, not just in terms of like your results, but also just the outlook that you have on training?
It's been huge. I first met Tommy through Instagram. I opened up a running Instagram separate from like I had a personal one, but nobody cared about running. Nobody, you know? So I thought, let me do a running Instagram page and meet other runners and, you know, just to jump into that community, because I think anybody, even if you're not a runner, if you've been to a 5K to cheer on, you know, a family member, you've seen like what a great community the running community is at these races. Like, it is nothing but fun and everybody's slapping hands and hugs, and it's a great community whether or not you're running or not. And I thought, well, let me jump into this Instagram world and meet new runners. And I think Tommy probably started his around the same time, and he's just a few towns over. And so we started chatting, you know, through Instagram, and met up for a couple of runs here and there. And then I had seen We Run 313 at a race that I had run in, and they came out in full force for this race. And so I started following them and some of the leaders, Lance and Joe. And I remember I reached out to Lance, and he said, you should come do this Sunday long run with us. It was during their off season. We're all training for my second Glass City. And I said, yeah, okay. So I went out there, and Tommy was there, Aaron was there, Joe was there. A good group of folks were out there. And that started me meeting up with them every Sunday to do a long run with them. And it evolved to, you know, going on to their Tuesday events, their Thursdays events. And then eventually, you know, most of my running is done with Tommy and Aaron, Joe and Ernest Holly. We kind of all run our long runs and short runs and workouts together. And it made a huge difference, because Tommy is faster than me. And so running with somebody faster always makes you faster. So that's a good motivating factor. And in terms of, you know, the other folks who are running with us, we've seen the improvement with them. So we're all improving at the same time. And that is just so awesome to watch, you know, not even just like, look at me, how well I'm doing. It's look at how well my running teammates are doing. And we're all kind of doing this together. So we're doing races together. We're doing different events, you know, around the country together. And it builds a good team dynamic bond that you otherwise don't get outside of a professional or high school, college setting, you know? So I really enjoy it. You know, my kids know everybody, you know, they'll say, hey, you know, Tommy's here, Aaron's here, they're outside waiting for you. You know, my wife's gotten to know them. It's been really a really fun, unexpected part of this new second part of my running journey.
Yeah, and going back to your days at Lansing Community, like, it's been a while since you were part of a team, right? I mean, yeah. Essentially, that's kind of the social environment that you're in right now, is that of a team environment. And, you know, as an adult, like, especially as someone who's also in their 40s, like, it's just adult friendships are tough because everyone's so busy all the time and everyone's got their own stuff. Everyone's on different timelines and you're just not in school anymore, right? So you don't just happen upon people, right? It always has to be so... things just have to be planned out, right? Things don't just happen spontaneously. You don't just, like, again, look down the hallway, or you just see someone like, you know, like, whether it's a dormitory or see someone in the hallway of like an academic building, whether you're in high school or college, like, it has to be so thought out. So yeah. What's it been like, just like the, again, this is a little bit off topic of running, but like, just like the adult friendship vibe. Cause I feel like for me, like, it's such a different thing now where like, those things don't exist, especially as someone who like works from home. Like, that's just something that I know that I miss as part of just my own social life.
Yeah, same. No, I work from home as well. It was funny. I was talking to Tommy a couple weeks ago. Like, we're good friends, you know, and we know about each other's kids and lives and whatnot, but we're not sharing Christmas cards, right? You know, like, that's just not the kind of friendship that is. But we probably talk or chat about running or whatever every day. But I keep thinking, you know, my wife made friends with my daughter's, you know, fellow parent moms. And so I think a lot of times that's how adult males make friends, is through the spouses of the moms that your wife met. And they're all great guys. I know them all. but I don't have anything in common with them because they don't run. You know, Tommy and Aaron and Ern and Joe, they all run. You know, most of them all have kids, so we have that in common to talk about, so we can share, you know, the accomplishments of our family. And so that's been nice, because we can, outside of, we have more than running to talk about, but running is the central focus point of what we have.
Right. Let's go back to Boston. So you're 48 years old, still going for PRs, and that's the goal, right? To get a PR in Boston?
Yeah. Yeah. So what
does that mean for you? What time are you potentially shooting for, and what's kind of the range that you're thinking right now? Again, still about a month out.
So I ran Boston in the October version, so in 2021. And that was, I could not have executed that race any more perfectly if I tried. And so that's the fear, right? That's the goal, is to, you know, try it, because I'm going to have to try it again. I ran that in 2:55. So that's, wow, that's my PR. My PR is Boston. And so I've been shooting for lately 2:50. So my training for Boston, if I get to 2:50, 2:49.59, that's the A-plus goal for me right there.
Gary, have you looked at the world masters rankings and stuff like that for, I guess, again, not just your age group, but like the age group up, right? Because I'm thinking, like, there's probably not a lot of people. I used to have these numbers down cold. It's been a while since I looked at the website. But, you know, people in that range, again, like even like in the 50 to 55 division, right? Because I know a lot of people who are on the cusp of that look at, like, I think it was London who had the last Masters marathon championship and things like that. Mm. It's just like, it's kind of like a newer thing. So it hasn't really gained a ton of traction. So I think sometimes people get invited, they're like, wait, what is this? But it's, yeah, it seems like you're like pretty close to it, man.
Maybe I see Ken Rideout and he's like in the 420s, you know,
but he's,
and
like number one.
Yeah. You know, but I haven't really looked because, you know, in my mind, I'm still in that, this is sounds so silly, I'm still in that 250 range. You know, if I get down to like sub 250, then maybe I'll kind of peek at it a little bit. But I know that Tommy's turning 40 next year, and then Luke Humphreys is in his 40s and he's way faster than I am right now. So there's,
but you're getting faster every day, man. You're looking for a huge PR.
Yeah, I am. And it's one of those things where I think about it a little bit, but until I get the goal, it's just stay back there for a while, you know, and let's see what I can do. And then if I hit this mark, and then I'll say, okay, well, what's out there? You know, what's the next goal? Because ultimately, you know, if I can keep this up, I mean, I think it'd be pretty cool to, what's the mark? What's the time? If you go under 5 or 6 minutes, what is it? 2:34?
2:37. It's like, 2:37. It's a six minute pace.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm not saying next year or anything, but you know, I'd like to be able to get that, but let's get to 2:49 first.
So you're hovering around like 6:30 pace right now.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is amazing. Right? Because, I mean, you were talking before, like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if I could break 20 minutes in a 5K or 19 minutes in a 5K? I mean, that's the kind of pace you're talking about, is hovering around 6:30. Now you're looking at that not as a 5K pace, but as a marathon pace.
Yeah. 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 No, every now and then I'll sit back and go, holy, you know, like, I'm not one of those folks who doesn't, like, look on their accomplishments and say, you know, oh, that's great, what next? I will every now and then sit down and think to myself, wow, look what you're doing, you know, because I think it's fun. I think it's fun to be able to, you know, even if the people around you who aren't into running don't care, I care. And so I'm excited about what I'm doing. And, you know, if I can help other people get excited about what they're doing, great. But I know for me, I appreciate that you notice that 6:30 is fun. Like, it's pretty cool. So,
yeah, I mean, I've heard it, and we've had people come on the show say that for an amateur athlete who is like running, but not going out and like absolutely putting in everything into their running, that oftentimes someone's 5K pace, again, someone who runs like, say, 30 miles a week, again, which is great. You know, if you're running 30 miles a week and you listen to this, kudos to you, man. That's a lot, right? That's 5 miles a day, six times a week, right? Then that's a substantial amount of running. But say someone's running 30 miles a week and doing it fairly consistently, their 5K pace could end up becoming their marathon pace. if they decide and have the availability to, you know, up their training and, you know, continue to invest in themselves as a runner. And it's kind of like daunting when you hear something like that. You're like, oh my God, like 5K pace. Like I'm redlining, right? Like I finished a 5K, I want to puke, right? That's how we all feel when we finish a 5K. It's hard to imagine that being a marathon pace, but we've had so many people come on the show who've done that exact same thing. And you're, you know, the latest example of that. And here you are, not only that, but you're hoping to even improve upon it.
Yeah. Like I said, what can I do? Like, what am I capable of doing? Let's find out. Let's do, you know, while I can, while I'm healthy, let's see what I can do. And I'm going to go for it. You know, people talk about, oh, I'm going to run this as a fun run. I don't really do that. Unless my coach says, hey, this is the workout. Like I'm doing the half marathon this weekend as a tune-up. That's a tune-up. That's fine. I get that. But you know, if I'm going to jump into a 5K or a whatever, I'm going to go for it. You know,
I love
what
it.
Can I do?
I love it. Gary, thank you so much for coming on the show. I advise anyone to come follow you on Instagram. You do a great job. Also, the PR project on YouTube with you, Tommy, and Aaron. All this will be in the show notes. Gary, thank you so much for coming on the show, and good luck to you in Boston.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Good to talk to you.